The Pulse on BFM 89.9.
I swore I wouldn't do this. The wine's gone to my head. The ferryman's been stranded. Stay with me tonight instead. The end will not befall us. Sky will not descend. Life can be more sweet than bitter if you'll only let me in. Kiss me, kiss me like long ago. Kiss me, I still know our dream ended like dreams do, but kiss me, I'm in love. Everything about you, and maybe half of it was true. Love's much less a mystery than who you give it to.
BFM 89.9 with me, Ofnir Thing, and Daryl Ong. You just heard Kiss Me, I Loved You. That's from the brand new album of Father John Misty. And we are reviewing that album tonight on the show. The new album is called Chloe and the Next 20th Century. And we're diving headfirst into that album. Just a bit of profile for the artist, if you are not aware. Father John Misty is the stage name of Joshua Michael Tillman, who was previously a member in numerous bands, most famously known as the drummer for folk band Fleet Foxes.
Yeah, he has quite an extensive discography with 8 releases under the name J. Tillman and 5 under Father John Misty, including, of course, this one, Chloe and the Next 20th Century. He's mainly known for his musical style that's been described as indie rock, indie folk, chamber pop, and even psychedelic rock, while having an affinity for storytelling via his slightly deadpan comedy.
Though seemingly under the radar for some, his work has been acknowledged by many in the scene and has made contributions to big name acts like Kid Cudi, Lady Gaga, Post Malone, and even Beyonce.
Yep. Yeah.
Beyonce actually wrote him an email personally to, you know, invite him to write a song with her.
Yeah, you know, since FJM left Fleet Foxes, he seems to be on an upwards trajectory, right, with his solo career. And a bit about this album, it's his fifth studio album released through Sub Pop and Bella Union on April the 8th, so fresh off the press. It's also his first new material since the release of God's Favorite Customer in 2018.
Written and recorded in fall, winter 2020, the album sees Tillman continuing to collaborate with multi-instrumentalist slash producer Jonathan Wilson and engineer Dave Caminara. A musical chameleon over the years, his style has shifted from his signature indie folk style, and this one sees him tackling a Sinatra-esque 60s swing vibe, drawing inspiration from big band jazz standards and classical pop.
And it's even you hear on this next track we're about to play, Bossa Nova.
A man with wide-ranging interests and genres, I guess. Check it out. Father John Misty from the album Chloe and the Next 20th Century. We'll be heading into our review right after this. But before that, Father John Misty, Olvidado, Otro Momento, right here on The Pulse, BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
I have something to tell you. I can't use my hands to sign. Even if I could manage it, dear, I'm not sure I'd catch your reply. Oh,
at me many times before, but never so complete.
Otro momento from Father John Misty, one that sees him singing in Spanish.
Wow.
For the first time. Quite crazy. This week, myself and Ofniel are reviewing Father John Misty's fifth studio offering, Chloe and the Next 20th Century. And you just heard, like, from that track, this is an album that's dripped in nostalgia. And for me, this is 100% soundtrack album. I mean it in a good way. Mm. Of course, every cut of this album transport you back to old Hollywood. It's almost like listening to 11 mini film scores, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think his world building with this album was executed very well. But upon listening to all 11 tracks, I still found it difficult to categorize.
Yeah.
Is it orchestral pop, alternative Sinatra?
Lounge pop, maybe.
Maybe lounge pop. Yeah. You know, although some tracks are era accurate, it probably wouldn't be something that you'd find in the older days. You know, take the last track, 11th track, the shocking one, where the distorted guitars give you a shock to the system with the final one. All while being an album that wouldn't look out of place at Blue Note Records, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's almost an album where I feel personally that Josh Tillman was kind of saying to his fans, like, guys, I'm old now. I just turned 40. So he knew that, you know, he won't make another album into his, you know, FGM character, or, you know, it's not what he wants anyway. It's not what he wants. He's doing what he's influenced by. It's almost a love letter to his influences, this album. Mm. And if I could compare, Chloe is pretty much like the shift made by Arctic Monkeys, for example, right, with the album Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Basically an indie darling making a lounge-inspired loose concept album with postmodern lyrical themes. That seems to be the trend over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he shocked many of his fans with this album. For me personally, first impression, it started from, what is this man doing? To, you know what? He's just having fun. You know, for an album with such a slow pace, I feel it runs dangerously close to being a sad-sounding album, but it never really reaches that level where it actually sounds like he's having fun with curveball sounds that doesn't sound like he's trying too hard, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of credit goes to arranger Drew Erickson and, of course, longtime producer Jonathan Wilson for making that sound a reality. It made everything, like you just said, you know, it's very cinematic, that's for sure.
Yeah, so in my opinion, and we're on to the first reactions, right, of this album, it's not maybe an album that you love right off the bat, right? Especially yeah. You're listening through. It's an album that you have to listen through. Singles wouldn't make sense, that's for sure, number one. But also, it's an album, like I said, you won't love at first sight, but definitely it will grow on you on the second or third round because it's just such a... It's really hard to hit, this album.
Yeah, I want to pinpoint one particular song, the song Only a Fool. You know, when I first heard it, it's like, it's a song that you have in your album as a joke, you know, almost like a joke. Not because it's bad, but just because of how jarring it sounds, like, compared to his older stuff, right? But the more you hear it, the less of a joke it becomes, and you start to think, maybe he really knows what he's doing after all.
Yeah, and on that note, we're gonna play off this part with this next track, like often mentioned, Father John Misty and Only a Fool. Do stay tuned, more of our review coming soon, right after this, only on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
I was a fool to begin with. Long before this dance began, oh, there's no mistaking what you're saying with that moony glance. Only a fool would understand. I was a fool when I met you, and oh, I bet you knew it too. How else could we stay standing all those nights dreamland?
Girl I knew in the way stop short and end up on the news. Everything you want, what's the fun in getting everything you want? I wouldn't know, but look, maybe you should try. Forget that lefty shit your mom drilled in your mind. Give the world a new savior. Sell his pictures to the press. Buy a place out in the country. Leave this world for someone else. My destruction is an hour late. I'm at Buddy's rendezvous, telling the losers and old timers how good I did with you. They almost believe me too. Whatever happened to the girl I knew in the wasteland? Come up short and end up on the
And we're back on the Pulse BFM 89.9 with myself, Ofni Ting, and Daryl Ong. We're currently reviewing the album of Father John Misty, his latest fifth album, Chloe and the Next 20th Century. You just heard the song Buddy's Rendezvous from that album.
Yeah, and we're about to go into the musicianship and songwriting right now, which I think will take up the bulk of our review because there are lots of points to touch on for this album. But for me, number one, I think the most obvious thing is the orchestra throughout the album, right? It really elevates that whole indie folk experience. Well, it's not really indie folk that FGM is trying to go through, but the orchestra is mostly a vital and often underlooked tool, right, in creating inverted commas lounge pop. In that sense.
Yeah, and I really love that big band orchestra sound. So I was starting to settle in, like, okay, he's trying to go for that big band sound, only to be thrown to an entirely different era with track number two, you know, from a big band jazz to Dolly Parton's Farm instantly with that country-inspired second track. But a couple more tracks in and you start to realize that the album is not really unified by a certain kind of sound or genre, but rather I would say it's the slow tempo, you know, where even the fastest song Q4 is at a rather mellow pace.
I agree with you. I would latch on to the point though and say that although they do sound different if you count the eras and you've count the aesthetic, I feel at the same time that you can almost expect the next song that's happening will be around that same vibe, if you get what I mean, right? Yeah. So definitely, maybe not just spot on, but you can kind of tell, you kind of predict, you know, the next song, what the feel is going to be like. And it's not a bad thing, you know, it's really consistent in terms of the whole track, really like I kept imagining myself at a Frank Sinatra or Michael Bublé concert for some reason.
Yeah, but speaking of Sinatra or Bublé, right, I think those acts would, you know, follow a template where it's tried and tested, where you have a few slow songs and
a few faster ones, a few dancey ones.
And, you know, some notable singles, maybe a bossa nova track here and there. But yeah, I feel with this one, he's like trying to go against the grain and, you know, take it as it is, and you know, you will enjoy whatever I'm giving it.
Yeah,
whatever I'm giving you.
Yeah, for sure. The melodies, for example, you know, it helps nudge the songs along. However, the overall feel for me is very neutral. I don't want to say the word lifeless, but it's still very neutral. There's no lack of dynamic in that sense, right? They start the neutral point and it just stays there, which is not a bad thing.
I'm not saying this as a bad thing.
Yeah, and you know, props have to be given to the track that we mentioned, the album closer, right? The next 20th century. In a way, that tune kind of lifted the curtain of the first 15 minutes, because like you were alluding to, that sudden electric guitar, that distortion really jolted me out of my seat for sure. And also another one is that song we played, that Bossa Nova tune, him singing Spanish, so props to that.
Well, I have to touch on the lyrics as well, because he's made a name for himself lyrically, right? Where he seems to not take himself too seriously, but I guess he tends to engulf his lyrics in mystery, and you really don't really know what he's trying to say even after reading the lyrics online. And I think such is the case for this album, right? Might not be a bad thing though, as it kind of pushes the listener to find the meaning of the words themselves. But yeah, I really can't seem to figure out what he's singing about sometimes. But even though it sounds good, but it's not as literal as Ed Sheeran's "I'm in Love with the Shape of You."
Sure. Okay, I have 2 points for that. Number one, I think the writing style and what he's writing about, right, is essentially love songs and experiences, right? Until the closing track. Again, we come back to that closing track, right? Kind of wraps up the whole album and explains the concept. So basically, that track talks about how humanity is caught in a never-ending loop of pain and suffering. So for the first 10 tracks, it's talking about love. And on this last track, you know what, guys? Actually, this never ends. This keeps going on. Life, right?
Or maybe love is pain and suffering.
Yeah, maybe that too. For me, this album is an exact opposite of what the message he tried to convey in Pure Comedy, where Father John Misty was focused on basically the whole negative aspects of humanity. He talks about the pain of the world in an extremely detailed extent. From that to this loungy love numbers, maybe he is, you know, just moving in a different direction. Onto the production though, and I'm not sure if this point is suited under our production segment of our review, but like you mentioned, you know, you couldn't really hear what he was singing about. It's hard to make right what he was singing about, and it's really a stark contrast to his intimate storytelling of previous releases. But then again, this might be an ode to the production style of the yesteryears, right? The vocals are not really in the forefront of the mix.
Yeah, totally agree. But speaking of production, right, I really thought the production was a masterclass in transporting you to a different world that he created within Chloe and the Next 20th Century. Because as the name suggests, right, the 20th century sound that's found in this album, I would say it's very convincing. And convincing because there's no jarring element that takes you out of the 20th century era kind of sound.
Until
11th track, the distorted guitars, of course, that we've been mentioning a lot. But, you know, there's also a lot of restraint, I feel, in the 10 tracks where you could say that they stayed true to that 20th century kind of sound, almost watching a period-accurate movie.
Yeah, and you know what? Just in terms of the emotion that was conveyed throughout this album, right? The production is lush and cinematic, so all around good work. But for me, a benchmark of good production is the emotions that a songwriter tries to pen down. It shines through orally. This album for me was both elegant and beautiful. I felt there were sweet moments and there were sad moments. But I think most importantly, this album is timeless. 20 years down the line, I can still see this album being relevant.
Yeah, for me, the words that I can come up with to describe the sound of the album is warm and fuzzy.
Warm and fuzzy.
Probably because of the live instruments, like the orchestral strings, trumpets, even some flutes here and there, you know, that plays a huge part, I think, in the overall warm sound that makes it very convincing.
Yeah, this album definitely made old sounds new again, right?
So let's head into another track before we offer you our final thoughts and the ratings for the album. Here's Father John Misty from his fifth album, Chloe and the Next 20th Century. This one's the track Funny Girl on the Pulse, BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
Funny girl, you look so unassuming right up until the room you're captivating starts to fill with gut-busting laughter. You're transformed into a five-foot Cleopatra. Funny girl, your schedule's pretty crazy, doing interviews for the new live action Kathy. Could you pencil in an industry outsider? Yeah, you're young, but baby, you're not getting young. Funny socialist, she insists there's not much more to it than drinks with a certain element of downtown art criticism. I benefit more than I should admit from her unscrupulous therapist. How benzodrine's supposed to address your shoplifting's anybody's guess. Chloe, change.
continues to persist. How you could have dropped the cigarette on the trip. Your boyfriend's cunning flip doesn't loose your grip on me a bit. She and I, we were inseparable. Of a son, Howard said, Mary, you'd better come, Chloe. Her name is Chloe. And he's talking awful strange. But the more they abhor you, the more I adore you. But I can't, my heart don't stand a chance of even a glance. Her soul is a pitch black expanse. She put on Flight of the Valkyries at her 31st birthday party, took a leap into the air.